This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The Prophet ﷺ mentioned to us an example of the hatred and enmity that shaitan has towards mankind. He describes in a hadith, Iblis sitting on a throne which is upon water, and he is surrounded by his followers, all from the jinn. And Iblis will order his followers to disperse amongst the people and to cause corruption amongst them. And when they return back to his throne, he begins to ask them, "What did you do?" So one of them will say, "I whispered to so and so, to such and such a person, and I tempted him until he stole." And another will say, "I whispered to so and so and I tempted him until he abused someone or harmed someone." Until one of them will come forward and will say to Iblis, "I did not leave this person alone until I caused him to leave his wife, to divorce his wife." And so Iblis will tell him, "Come closer to me," and he will honor him, and he will say, "Na'am, ant, you are the one." Meaning, you are the one who succeeded, you got the big prize. The meaning of this hadith, there's many meanings that we can take from it. Amongst it is that the most beloved act of corruption in the sight of shaitan is when the husband and wife are separated, when they're divorced, when he causes friction and distress and hardship between them. And through this separation, shaitan is able to cause even more corruption and evil. This is something we should not take lightly. There's a reason our Prophet ﷺ told us this hadith. Statistically, we can see this reality. Places where families are more likely to be intact have higher levels of education, higher levels of income. They have lower levels of depression, lower levels of anxiety, lower levels of crime. Societal ills grow when the homes become broken. And shaitan knows this, and this is why he is honoring the one who is able to cause this corruption. And through this hadith, we also realize that marriage is one of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. From the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His miracles. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from all things we created, two spouses, the male and the female, that you may think. Male and female, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created us on our own. He has created, like the amoeba and things like this, that can reproduce on their own. But He created us, zawjain, the two halves, the male and the female, that you may think and ponder, that you realize that in this is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو الذي خلق من الماء بشرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He created man out of water. فجعله نسبا وسهرا. And He made him into two things, نسب and سهرا. نسب is your lineage, your blood relations. And سهرا is your extended family, your in-laws, literally means your in-laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we created mankind out of water and we gave him family. We gave him family, your blood relations and your relations through marriage. This is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So marriage has this incredibly powerful capacity to be a blessing. And because of this, shaitan is most pleased when he destroys this blessing, when he removes this blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks to us about the prophets, He tells us, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. We gave the prophets wives and children, spouses and offspring. This is on purpose. Allah gives us the prophets, and the prophets have families. In fact, the only prophet, the scholars say, did not have a wife and children is Isa alayhi salam, and of the prophecy of his return is that he marries and he has children. Why did Allah give us these prophets who have wives and children? So that we understand how to build our homes, how to arrange our relationships, how to build our communities, because the community is built home by home by home by home. How we can build it in the right way. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah tells you there is an excellent example in the Messenger of Allah. And so we should be looking to the prophets to understand how to arrange our marriages, how to build the healthy home. The first point that I want to mention for us to consider, because we're entering into these days of weddings, and we get invited to officiate the weddings, or you get invited to attend the weddings or things like that. And so people are getting married. This is the time throughout this summer where people are getting married, but it's a time for us to really think about the importance of marriage. And it's a time for those who are already married to think about how they are structuring their relationship and what they can do to avoid or to manage conflicts that happen in their relationship. The first point is for us to realize that no marriage is perfect. No couple is perfect. If you're upset with the flaws of your spouse, sometimes it's important to remind yourself you have your own flaws. You have your own shortcomings. And I've seen this in the past decade or so in different people. People who have a problem with their spouse and they decide the grass is greener. And then they find out it's not. They get divorced, they realize after years and years of hardship, they would have been better off just making things work. And this reality extends beyond marriage relationships. It influences many relationships. People dispose of their friends very quickly these days. We live in a society where we're told everything is about you. Just do you. Everything needs to revolve you. And if things are not serving you immediately, then get rid of them. This is not the healthy way to build long-lasting relationships. Long-lasting relationships take time and effort. Takes work. Sometimes it doesn't serve you immediately, but over the long term it will serve you. But when we have this kind of disposable relationship idea, if things are not serving me right now the way that I want them to, I'm going to get rid of them. We're actually damaging our long-term health. And so, this is one of the diseases we have to talk about. The idea that we feel entitled to a certain kind of life. Entitled to a certain kind of marriage. And if it's not as perfect as I think it's going to be, then I need to get rid of it. The prophets are our examples. It's from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the greatest of all men, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the greatest of the women, the mothers of the believers, they had conflict in their marriage. Their marriage was not perfect 100% of the time, all the time. There were difficulties. There were conflicts. To allow us to realize, we're going to have conflicts in our marriage. We're going to have difficulties in our marriage. We should expect that. We should expect hardship and difficulty in life at times, and to work through managing those difficulties and hardships. Not to immediately think, if things are not the way I believe I'm entitled for it to be, then I need to chuck it out the window, throw it out the window. The second point is that comparison is the thief of joy. And this is especially true when it comes to marriage. We don't value things until we don't have it. We don't value not having a headache until we have a headache. We don't value not having the ability to walk until you don't have the ability to walk. This is the way that we are. And the Prophet ﷺ guided us in our marriage relationships with a very powerful hadith. He said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلق رضي منها آخر. That do not let the believing men dislike the believing women. So he's speaking to husbands. Don't dislike your wives. He's saying if there's one thing you dislike about them, there's something you will like about them. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us not to be the kind of person who obsesses over the thing you don't have. Because when you do that, you become blind to all the things you do have. So he's saying if you're looking to your spouse and there's one thing you don't like about them, look to the things that you do like about them. Because most likely you're going to find a lot of things you do like about them. And this is something common. A person will go to his friend's house, and mashallah, his wife is an amazing cook. She cooks a beautiful dinner, huge spread, and he asks his friend, did someone help your wife cook all this food? She says, no, she stayed up and she cooked all of it by herself. And then he thinks, my wife's cooking is terrible and she never cooks. And he goes home, he's ready for a fight. Someone else goes to his friend's house, he sees the house is clean and perfect and in order. Did you hire a cleaner? No, my wife did all of this. He goes home, khalas, he's ready for a fight. Why is his wife like this and my wife like that? But he doesn't realize maybe the other wife, yes, she's an amazing cook, but maybe she spends all of his money. Maybe the other wife, she cleans the house, but maybe she's a very tough personality. Very difficult to get along with. We focus on the things we don't have, become blind to the things that we do have. We do this in our life all the time, and it becomes very, very destructive when it happens in our marriages. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling you, if there's one characteristic you don't like, look to what you do like. Right? Look to the characteristic you do like. Because women do this too with their husbands. Why is it that such and such husband is earning more money? Why does he have a better job? Why is he better dressed? Why is he better this? Why is he better that? This kind of comparison steals the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and made us blind to it. The third point is we have to control our anger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many different ahadith, tells us that when we are angry, to be quiet, to be silent. And this hadith is in the context of your friends, your acquaintances, the people that you know. When you're angry, be quiet. Why? Because anger is not the time to resolve a conflict. Anger is the time to accelerate the conflict. If you're angry with your friends and you speak, you're probably going to be more angry and cause even more of a problem. It doesn't solve the problem. If this is true, and the Prophet ﷺ is telling us this in the context of friends, because he doesn't want you to ruin your relationship with your friends. We are even more in need of that when it comes to husband and wife, to our relationships in our homes. To be quiet when we're angry. Solve the problem when both of you have calmed down. The Prophet ﷺ tells us different ahadith. If you're angry and you're standing, to sit down. If you're sitting down, to lie down. To say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. To make wudu. All of these different ahadith. To be quiet when we are angry. Instead, sometimes when we're angry, we speak. Some people think they're smart. They be quiet and then they write a message, a text message, and they send it. They write an email. Don't do that. Calm down, sleep on it. Think about it. And this is something I will say is much more important with the husbands than it is with the wives. Why? First of all, in our Sharia, no matter what the wife says to her husband, will her words cause a divorce? No. But the husband's words can cause the divorce with the wife. So the husband has to be more careful about what he says. The second thing is we know men, sometimes, words don't hurt us as much as it hurts women. We can get over words more easily. Of course, all of us have feelings, and our feelings can be hurt. But we can get over those feelings more easily than women can. So when we're not careful with our tongues, we can really harm the relationship in a way that can be very difficult to fix. And so anger can destroy the marriage and cause a lot of regret. And the scholars have a beautiful saying. They say, "You are the master of the words you haven't spoken. The words you didn't say, you're the master of it. You're in control of it. You can edit it, you can change it, you can rearrange it, you can reword it. You haven't spoken it, you're in charge of it. But the moment you speak those words, you're a slave to the words. Now you said it, you can't take it back. You can't re-edit it. Once you've said it, you've said it." And what's interesting is that when Aisha radiallahu anha describes the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she doesn't say when he was angry he was yelling, he was screaming, he was saying this or this or this or that. When she describes the anger of the Prophet, what does she describe? She describes his face. She describes his facial expressions. Because when he was angry, he was quiet. He wasn't speaking. He wasn't saying anything. So she says, "I know he was angry because I could tell from his facial expressions." And this is a sunnah all of us should be following, especially when it comes to our family. And we see this even in Aisha radiallahu anha. Like the Prophet tells Aisha, "Oh Aisha, I know when you are happy with me and I know when you are angry with me." And Aisha asks the Prophet, "How do you know when I'm angry with you?" He says, "I know that when you are happy with me, you say, 'Wa Rabbi Muhammad,' by the Lord of Muhammad. And when you are angry with me, you say, 'Wa Rabbi Ibrahim,' by the Lord of Ibrahim." She's angry with the Prophet. She doesn't want to mention his name. She says, "The Lord of Ibrahim rather than the Lord of Muhammad." So Aisha tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "أجل يا رسول الله والله ما أهجر إلا اسمك." She says, "This is true, O Messenger of Allah. Wallahi, I'm not capable of abandoning except your name." Like, she doesn't leave the house, she doesn't go away from him. The worst that she does when she's angry, she doesn't mention the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, "The most I can abandon is your name." And this is because of the excellent treatment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with her, and she had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fourth point I want to mention here is that if both sides are sincere, if both sides are sincere, they'll find a way to reconcile. And of course, there are exceptions to every rule. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا." If they both want reconciliation, Allah will give them tawfiq. Allah will facilitate it for them. If they both want it, if the goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the goal is not to win the argument, if the goal is to please Allah and therefore preserve the marriage, Allah will give them a way to reconcile. But if it becomes about ego, if it becomes about winning, if it becomes about proving you are stronger or smarter than the other person, then you're not going to find the way to reconciliation. But when it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and both sides, not one side, but both sides are willing to compromise, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the way of reconciliation. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, after his wife had passed away, people saw him mourning over her. And he said, لَبِثْنَا عَشْرِينَ سَنَةً وَمَا اخْتَلَفْنَا فِي شَيْءٍ. He said, "Me and my wife, we lived together for 20 years. We never disagreed about anything." Now how is this possible? Because of course every married couple is going to have disagreements. What does he mean by this? He says, كُنْتُ إِذَا غَضَبْتُ أَرْضَيْتَنِي وَكُنْتُ إِذَا غَضَبَتْ مِنِّي أَرْضَيْتُهَا. He said, we were in a relationship where if I was upset, if I was angry, she would please me. And if she was angry, I would please her. Meaning, their relationship was one where they could tell if the other person is really upset, they compromised. If they could see the other person is really upset by this, they did whatever they could to please the other person. Because the reality, it's like a rope between two people. If both people are pulling as hard as they can on the same rope, the rope is going to snap eventually. Marriage can't work like that. But if both parties are willing to compromise at times, they see something is really important to the other person, so they're willing to compromise, then you will find a way to reconcile. You'll find a way to make the marriage work. And it can't be just one person. Sometimes there's relationships where one person is doing all the compromising and the other person is doing all the taking. That's not going to last either. When both sides are willing to compromise for the other person, both sides are willing to sacrifice for the other person, both sides are willing to put the other person first at times, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for them. The fifth point, and I'll end inshallah on this one, is not to assume. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. O you who believe, avoid most assumptions, or avoid assumptions. For indeed, most assumptions are sinful. Ijtinab, I've mentioned this in another khutbah, but ijtinab, ijtanibu, is mentioned only in three contexts in the Qur'an. One context, Allah mentions it when He talks about shirk. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Avoid the filth of idolatry and the false words, meaning the worship of idols. And He mentions it when He talks about gambling and alcohol. يَا أَيُّوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. O you who believe, indeed, alcohol and gambling and the divinity that they would play, these are filth from the deeds of shaytan, so avoid it. Ijtinab is to get away from that thing. Get far away from it. Allah is saying, avoid this thing. Get far away from it. Now the scholars say something very interesting. Look at these three contexts. They say worship of the idol, idolatry, Allah tells you, get away from it. Why? It destroys your iman. Your belief in Allah is destroyed once you worship an idol. And He tells you, get away from alcohol and gambling. Gambling destroys your money, your wealth. Alcohol destroys your sanity, your mind, your ability to think. And then He tells you, get away from assumptions, assuming things about other people. Why? Because it destroys relationships. When we assume about other people, we destroy relationships. And this is in the context of other random Muslims, other people that you know, your friends, your acquaintances. Don't assume the worst about them. If that's true about random people, it is far more true when it comes to our husband or wife, our spouse. How often when I hear from couples and I talk to them, do I hear people saying, they know what they did, right? They know what they did. They assume the other person did this thing on purpose, with intention. They assume it completely. When we start building these assumptions, of course we're going to ruin the relationship. Instead of assuming, we have to communicate. So we communicate our expectations clearly. We communicate when something really annoys us or upsets us. The communication needs to be clear so that we're not making assumptions about the other person. Instead, it's like, oh, they said this and they must have meant X, Y, and Z. He knew what he meant. She knew what she meant. We're building assumptions. How do you have a relationship when we're assuming the worst about one another? It's impossible. We can't have an ummah if we're always assuming the worst about each other. How are we going to have a home or a relationship when we're assuming the worst about each other? So instead of assuming, we have to communicate. We have to communicate, when you said this, it made me think this, 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 and it made me feel this way. Right? Now we're not assuming, we're speaking about facts. We're communicating our expectations, we're communicating our feelings, we're communicating things that have actually happened. If we live in the world of assumptions, then we're not living in the world of communication, and that's something that's going to destroy our marriages. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ